Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. Phone lines here are 605-4567.
Top of the morning to
you. Top of the morning.
February 1st today. You know, February 1st we get going. 42 degrees today, cloudy. Well, let's see. Let's kind of go over what we did over the weekend. You know, it's like nice to start the morning by recapping the weekend. We went out to Anselmo's for a birthday party, and it was a double night because we not only was it Anselmo's.
It was Rick Hill. Morgan
Rick
family.
Hill, happy
family.
Birthday. And
you don't look a day over 75.
No, met some
Rick.
Really nice people. And RJ and Chicken are back from their European trip. And by the way, we just want to let you know that even though Valentine's Day is sold out, Saturday, which is the 13th, February 13th, they are going to have dinner. So if you have been snoozing, you won't lose if you make reservations to get out there Saturday night. So then we went. It was kind of talk about pulling a late one. We went to the Mardi Gras at the convention center, and I know Don King won the King. Don Burton won the King. I'm not sure who won Queen. We got there so late, but not late enough to sit and have a good time gambling until.
Well, you know, Mardi Gras is a worthy cause to go to, and we of course support it.
Sir Optimist.
But it seems like, you know, when you go there, you know, everybody, you buy chips and you buy tickets to drink and all those things. So we got there late, so maybe we had missed the drinking part. But we were sitting down and gambling, and a huge argument breaks out between the guy dealing and one of the, I guess you call them pit bosses. And they get into a huge argument, and people are yelling and about, oh, you're not playing the game right. Well, this is the second or third one I've gone to Mardi Gras. Nobody plays a game right there. You know, the dealers help people, and it's just all, you know, good fun. So everybody got up from the table and just left. And then if it didn't happen again in two other places, it was really strange to see that happen. I mean, you know, not the big arguments, but, you know, people telling the dealers they're not doing it right and making them stop. So,
well,
you know, you kind of go there to just kind of have a good time.
And
which 99% of the people did, but yeah. It was interesting to see that happen, you know, because I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, at
before.
A fundraiser. You're going there, it's supposed not to be serious. And like I said, you're not giving away. I'm sure everything upstairs was donated. That, you know, yeah. When you take your chips and you redeem your chips for a teddy bear or whatever. And
it was just kind of strange.
It's just a little disturbing, but you know, I mean, that doesn't stop
even
us.
Even charity events can get serious. That's right.
So anyway, yesterday was a great day. Sunday, we'd love to hear what you did over the weekend. And we know what's happening today. It's a huge day. State of the City address happening at the convention center. They say the tickets are not for sale at the door. So I'm not really sure where they said you could get tickets,
well,
you know?
Anyway, it's going to begin, I think, at noontime, and Patrick Jones is going to give the State of the City, but he's going to give it again in the evening, too. Mm-hmm.
And the evening one is free, of course, that's at City Hall.
Right, then they charge you for lunch for some reason.
605-4567, and what did we see as soon as we walked in the door today? The front page had pictures, mug shots, and we'll tell you about that when we get back. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio.
That wasn't a bus, though.
KCNR 1460.
Tobacco and Brew.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio back on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. On a day like today, go in there and get that special cup of coffee made at Espresso Joe's at a very good price, or buy a pound of their gourmet coffee beans at a great price, and they'll even sell you the coffee makers so you can brew your own. But it's not as much fun as going down there and getting a coffee from the girls. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, so much more than just a tobacco emporium.
And this Friday, we on every Friday at 12 o'clock, we have our internet show there where you can show up and for $5 you can get a lunch, you can hang out and talk in person, topical things. This Friday, our guest that is scheduled is?
The opponent or the challenger for the Shasta County Office of District Attorney, Steve Carlton. Steve's going to be on our show at 8 o'clock in the morning and then go down there at 12 noon. For our internet show, it reaches a lot of people. And also, it's a kind of a mini town hall. We get, 40, 50 people in there. It allows people to ask questions of the candidates, which I think is really important. It's important that you be able to take a look at them when you ask the question or when the question's asked to see, what their expressions are, to see if they're dissembling or if they're kind of backing up. You need to see that. Anyway, Friday... And we're going to do this with a lot of candidates. We haven't just done this with Steve. We did it with Rick King. Doug LaMalfa will be there. If you're running, we're going to try and get, of course, Congressman Herger. We'll get, Pete Stiglitz. If you're running for an office, we're going to try and get you down there. Even if you're running unopposed, which seems to be some of the things, some of the cases right now. Anyway, and our guest today at... our business of the week is Scarborough Office Designs. So they're going to be on here in a while. And then our guest at 8 o'clock is Dr. Gary Lewis from Shasta Community College. And he's got a lot of things to say.
He's the dean there.
He's in charge of everything. He's a big kahuna.
So get your phone, get your phones ready to dial 605-4567. Hey, and I want to thank you all for sending wonderful notes and thoughts towards my mother. Many of you know that I was gone Thursday and Friday. I drove down to Sacramento. My mom is at Kaiser in Roseville. I'd never been there. And I know I'm smacking my a habit of trying to get past.
There's bad Bob's over going, what's the sound I'm hearing here?
What is that noise?
Yeah. All right, anyway, so my mom went in, and she had originally, pancreatitis and was very inflamed. And so my brother, being a doctor down there, was in touch with her doctors. Wonderful care. She got wonderful care, not just because of my brother. There's a team of doctors, and she, of course, was admitted, and they found out that she, they went through the tests, and they went through the x-rays and found out that she had was going to have her gallbladder removed. But they thought that they were going to try to go in and do it laparoscopically, and if they couldn't get what they needed to get done, then they would go in and do the, a traditional operation. Well, I just want to, the reason I'm telling you this is because I know a lot of times we are in fear of hospitals or in fear of doing these types of things. And my mother is 76 years young, and she went in there and she had 25 gallstones, and they were able to put a sac in to enter with scopically, laparoscopically, remove her gallbladder through little incisions, her belly button and little incisions. And it's a miracle. I cannot get over. The next day she left. We're talking on the phone. She walked up and down the stairs. And if you think about it, an organ has been removed from your body. It's just the miracle of what's happening with medicine today. So I just feel really blessed.
Well, when you talk about, and somebody talked the other day about miracles, and what one person conceives as a miracle, another person just thinks of it as a scientific, step forward. But if you'd had this, 25 years ago or 100 years ago, of course, it would have been a miracle, as many things that happened. But I like to travel down to Sacramento for just a little bit. Last week we talked about them passing this bill for a single-payer health insurance for the state of California. The Senate did it again. It looks like it'll get passed up. This is the third time they've done it. And I've been reading, some of the, communications that I see. And some people are absolutely for this because, oh, my God, everybody should have health care. It's a right. God gave you the right to health care, and it says it in the Constitution. Which, of course, may not be true. The thing about it is you know, it, healthcare needs to be, again, we go back, this is just Sacramento, and they're saying, yeah, this started in the state. You know, the last thing I heard was it was going to raise taxes, like over $200 billion. You know, people say, oh, no, it's going to be cutting taxes. I don't understand how, I mean, you can say that, but $200 billion in taxes, you know, on businesses and individuals, unless you're in a union. You know, why, if it's such a good deal, aren't the unions able to pay for this? Why not just do away with the union health care if you're going to do this and let everybody pay for this? You know, there are things I don't understand about the way the political system works. But unless, you know, they haven't been reading the newspapers because we're getting our butts kicked right now in California. And because of that, and then to put an onerous other tax on us, in the middle of all this, just shows a complete lack of sensibility on the Democrats. Yes, it's the Democrat side, because they're the ones that are in control down there. And when you ask Anastad and Nielsen, okay, well, what the heck have the Republicans done? What's your plan for doing things? And their answer is, we have a number of bills. Not one of them has seen the light of day because they can't get them out of committees. They can't get them out of committees. Well, and why is that? It's because the Democrats control the committees. And trust me, my friends, if the situation was reversed and if it was Republicans doing this to Democrats, I'd be saying the same thing. This is ridiculous. We're in a lot of trouble here, and they are still battling. They are still passing stupid, stupid legislation. You want to know what the latest one is? The state Senate on Thursday passed a bill that to crack down on free parking. Yep, let's do away with free parking, because free parking means people drive cars, which means it hurts the greenhouse emissions, according to this idiot from named Lowenthal from Long Beach, Democrat. You know what? I'd love to say Republicans, too, but right now this just seems like the Democrats getting all the good ideas. But when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about why do they want to do away with free parking? What kind of impact is that going to have on your business? And wait a minute, it's even better. They're talking about places like Los Angeles. You get up here into the North State, we don't really have a huge parking problem, yet we're going to be punished for it due to what's going on in Southern California. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, 605-4567. Join us after these messages.
Good morning. It's 7:24. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Chance of showers today, high of 52. And the forecast tonight is going to be low of a 41, likely showers. Tuesday night, likely showers. Cloudy with a round of 42. North wind between 3 and 5 miles. Chance of precipitation is 60%.
I might participate in that.
Are you going to participate in that instead of participation? How about, let's see if I can read it a little bit better with my glasses. Weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination. And you know what? Many people say, where's Anselmo Vineyards? And we say, well, it's on the way to Shingleton. Actually, it's 15 miles outside of Palo Cedro, about 9 miles south of Shingleton, on a road called Inwood. Got to go there. Love it. What do you got going?
Well, I'm
going
to go back and talk about Mr. Lowenthal, the Democrat from Long Beach, who has this great idea about let's do away with free parking. In fact, he's introduced a bill. Free parking encourages driving. Oh, my God. And it worsens traffic jams and pollution, including greenhouse gas emissions. Mr. Lowenthal is screaming from his pulpit, do away with the free parking, and that would actually, he said, it would actually encourage cities to make parking scarce, which, of course, they really need in Sacramento and, you know, in L.A. and Disneyland and those places. As levers, it would use greenhouse gas reduction credits. That's the city's newest tool for blackmailing us. And as well as extra points on competitive applications for a share of state bonds. So what's that mean? It means the latter step would mean that cities with plenty of parking, that's us, would actually be punished simply by being uncrowded. They get less money for roads, bridges, and parks, and never mind that the residents pay the same taxes as everybody else. This came out of Record Searchlight, and Record Searchlight every so often comes up with some really good things. But he's absolutely true. you know, if since we don't have a parking problem, they're going to do the exact same rules for us as they do for the crowded areas down in Southern California. Can we say the septic tank thing, the septic tank fiasco? Remember that when they wanted us to have the same rules as the septic tanks along the coast, even though we get our water from hundreds of feet down, and how it was going to cost us thousands and thousands of dollars to redo all the septic tanks? And these for individual owners. These aren't for just businesses. These for individual owners. Guess what? Our friends are still down in Sacramento. Vote them out. Take them all out by the vote, of course. What are they doing? They don't care. It's just little things like that on a Monday morning that I get that gets to me.
Well, how about the front page this morning?
No, that's even better.
Okay. Are you finished with that?
Well, do you want to talk about the embezzlers?
Yeah, I mean, we said we were going to come back and talk about the mugshots.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Nine. Do you recognize any of them?
You know, believe it or not, I do.
I think those are the people that you stand next to in the grocery store lines. Those are the people that, you know, you go to the movies with. People who are just your normal, everyday mix in. Probably have become the... We at that time, became really good friends with the people that employed them.
You know, that's one of the things that we've been talking about here, you know, every so often, occasionally. We've talked about the number of embezzlement cases, and it seems like at least every other month, you see another photo in the paper of a nice-looking little old lady, not little old lady, but a middle-aged lady who's just been arrested for embezzlement.
We personally know two people who've had situations recently.
That's right, where somebody embezzled from them, mm-hmm. and including down at the sheriff's office. By a woman down there that, I mean, I just really thought a lot of.
Yeah.
And she was taking the money.
And we should follow up with that, speaking of which, because we're going to have to take a break here really fast. But we need to follow up with the sheriff's office and find out what happened.
Well, she pled guilty to it.
I know, but didn't they, remember they had to, everybody who had a concealed carry permit had to call and make sure that theirs was, legal.
Yeah, they went out last year on those things. But, you know, if there's still a question, of course you should. But here's the thing is that what they're finding, here's the biggest thing that they're finding. If you look at the parts of the cases that are, you know, similar, she was a personal friend. In a lot of cases, the embezzler was a friend of the company and had been there a long time. We're going to have to take a quick break here. When we get back, we want to talk about some of the ways that you can protect your company from embezzlement. Things to look for, things that you can do to protect your company, because it seems like everybody is under the gun, because everybody's being touched. The Salvation Army, a lot of the nonprofits have gotten hit, even the sheriff's office. All of those places have been hit. So how do you protect yourself? And after we talk a little bit about that, then we're going to bring on our guest who just walked in. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
From the Fox Business Network, the most powerful...
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's Monday morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and they're trying to do it to us again. Of course, we were talking about taking away free parking. You know, I bet the businesses are just really happy about that. In fact, some of the businesses are saying, how come if you've taken down the parking, those parking meters in part of Reading, how come you haven't taken them down everywhere else? That gives somebody another, you know, gives them a more lucrative chance. Okay, going back before we get to our guest here, going back to the embezzlement, we're going to have a show on this, an hour, so to help, you know, to for things to watch out for. But what Chief Hansen has pointed out and other people is you can't just rely on one person to do all your books. You need to bring in an outside group to just check the books on a random basis. That way you can see if maybe there's some things going on that you haven't spotted. And, of course, there's always, you know, the big telltales. Do they have a new car? Are they taking more vacations than you are? You know, little things like that. But, you know, what happens, I believe, in many of the cases that it's related now to the economy where they need money to pay their bills. And when they do that, the they take money and then they somehow say, you know, I deserve this. I've been working really hard, and they can, you know, they can give themselves this money because what a great job they've been doing, or they just like to go over to a Wind River and gamble, or maybe they have a drug problem. All these could be parts of it. Anyway, like I said, we're going to have a show. If you got a business and you're not sure about your cash flow, this is something notice to take a look at. You can call the DA's office and they'll help you out, give you a list of check things to look for. Okay.
Well, our guest today is, are you third generation?
Third generation. What do you mean?
Meaning your business.
No, I'm first owner here.
First owner. Yeah. Okay. Well, good morning and welcome to our station. Our highlighted business this morning is Scarborough Office Designs, and the owner, Tim Scarborough, is with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
For some reason, but you were raised here.
Yes, I was. Okay. Well, pretty much since I was 13.
Okay.
1977.
So how did you get into the business?
Well, somewhat by accident, I think. You know, wasn't something that I grew up thinking, oh, I want to get into the contract furniture business. Actually had taken a job in a home furniture store for about 6 months and then was looking for other opportunities and happened to come up to a office furniture company, stopped in with my resume, got hired on the spot, started the next week or the next Monday. That was on a Friday, started on Monday, and that was almost 14 years ago. And so... and just begin to learn all about contract furniture, office furniture, learn that it's not the kind of business that you are trying to get a lot of retail traffic coming in, buying, you know, people coming in off the street to buy a product. But basically, this type of business is very project-oriented. We're looking for new businesses, expanding businesses, do a lot of work with government accounts, healthcare. In a hospital, we can provide basically every stick of furniture that you would see in a hospital except for the hospital bed itself. And so the industry or the business is typically a lot more expansive than people realize. And then, of course, the name of our company, Scarborough Office Design, we really put a lot of emphasis on the design, the workplace, the environment. We've partnered with a company called Steelcase that literally spends about $50 million a year doing nothing but studying how people work in various types of environments, whether it's educational, healthcare, government agencies, businesses, and I'm sure even radio stations they've studied. And so we tap into that information, and we utilize that when we go in and design a workplace for our customers.
Well, we all know how important it is for your space. I mean, if you have a lot of clutter, it's hard to think straight. If you, you're in tight quarters, it can be organized in such a way. And sometimes we can't see that. We can feel, you know, why am I frustrated? Everything is crowding in on me. But to have the professionals come in, it's almost like that show where they come in and declutter the house or, you know, that kind of thing. So do you come in? Do you have the services where you come in and somebody says, help, I just do whatever? Make it good for me.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, especially right now in these economic times where people aren't really wanting to expand, but they're wanting to utilize the space they have, we have the capabilities of going in and saying, hey, with less real estate, we can cause your office and your business to be more effective and run more effectively just in the actual design of the office.
Well, a lot of times, too, is that when people in today's markets, they're not selling their homes. But they want a change, and so they go in and they redesign. It's the same thing with a business.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times you come in, like, you know, we want to do a number of things here in the station.
So and you guys need help. I just want to tell you that.
Well, you know, about 6 weeks ago, Tim, this space that you're
thanks,
in
Tim,
right
I'll
now.
I'll come down to your place and see if I can help.
Please, come on board. We'd love to do, like, a series in 6 months from now, what you two could have. About 6 weeks ago when we started, because we launched December 15th, this place, all the way up until like probably the middle of November, from November to December, this place was piled high with newspapers and boxes. So when you think about the fact there's been, you know, we had a friend come and do the lighting, somebody, another friend came and helped with the phones, you know, we put Bob and this group of people, six or seven people doing wiring, and we said, we've got to hit, we knew the networks were counting on us, and Dennis Miller and all the people that we said we were going to start. So we had to start. We had Laura Ingram and Michael Savage, and of course they're out of New York and out of Los Angeles. And we had people that were going to start on our Saturday shows. So we said, okay, you guys, we're going to kick off. Even if, you know, we're hanging upside down, nobody's going to see it on the radio, even though people could visualize it.
We have a great studio for radio.
Well, honestly.
We're not the Rush Limbaugh sitting there behind a golden mic right now. But you know what? This studio has grown, you know, so much and so well. And that now we're into the spot where we can start putting things together and start adding the things to it.
And I think you guys are doing an awesome job, too. I want you to know.
Oh, well,
and,
thank you.
And I was joking.
I know you, half-heartedly. Yes, and we're right there with you.
A little tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
But we really, I want you to know that I have really been enjoying listening to you guys each morning, the information that you are bringing to our community, the programming that you have established on this radio station. I find to be very refreshing, and I think you guys are going to be extremely successful in this community, and already are.
Well, we love this community, and you know, I think if you love something, you know, that success will come.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. It's got nothing to do with except something I talked about earlier. Do you have parking at your?
We have free parking. I want you to know.
Now, what if you had to, like, charge your customers, and they see all this free parking, and they come in, I'm sorry, we're going to have to charge you $1 to park.
Yeah, that would
there.
Just seem absolutely ridiculous.
I keep thinking, okay, maybe we just missed something in the story. I just hope we missed something in the story.
It's just another blow to businesses, you know, that kind of thinking gets justified with all of this environmentalist-type thought process. And, again, the small business gets left on the wayside.
Yeah, you know, the backbone of this community, in fact, of the United States, you know, like 95% of the people are hired through small businesses, and the amount of taxes that are paid through small businesses. Hey, we've got to take a break here. Now, Tim Scarborough is our guest, Scarborough Office Designs. Carl and Abbott, KCNR 1460.
Five-star bank.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 7:44, first day of February. And if you don't have plans yet to take your sweetheart for Valentine's, let you know that we were out in Anselmo, and they do have a few reservations left for the 13th. Phenomenal place to go. It will be a romantic memory, trust me. Our guest today is Tim Scarborough from Scarborough. Office Designs. I keep wanting to say, are you going to school fair? Okay, so welcome back on our program. I have a question for you. Okay, we've just recently talked about the fact that if somebody's not going to expand,
mm-hmm.
if somebody realizes that, you know, here's the space, we're going to keep our office here, this is what we're going to do, but I need to do something, I need to change it out. Walk us through what one does. Then they pick up the phone and they call Tim at Scarborough Office Designs, and then what?
And then we would talk to them a little bit about their office space. The very first thing that we're going to want to do is send out one of our design consultants to meet with them in their space. And we do a whole evaluation. By the way, this aspect of our business is absolutely free. Somebody can call up. We'll come out, take a look at their space. Typically, we're going to field measure it. We're going to talk with them, find out what their needs are, what it is that they're wanting to accomplish. And then we'll take that information back into our office. We will draw it up and design it out for them. They will actually be presented with 3D drawings of the redefined space. Again, all of that is something that we offer for free to our customers. And we understand what it's like for our customers. We know that they probably aren't in the place at times that they want to replace all of their furniture. They just want their office to work more effectively. And so utilizing their existing furniture, maybe adding a piece or two, we can come in and show them how their office can work more efficiently.
And how would our listeners get a hold of you?
They can give us a call at 223-3375, or they can remember 223-DESK.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And is there a website where you show some samples?
Yes. Our website is SOD for Scarborough Office Design -inc.com. So it's basically sod-inc.com.
And so with the economy, the way what's happening here, let's just say California, the North State, how is it affecting you and what are you finding?
Well, the main thing that we're seeing for a business like ours, so much of our business is business to business. And so that aspect of the business, as far as new businesses coming in, has died down considerably, and also business expanding has died down. Now, believe it or not, even with all the talk about certain budget cuts and so forth, we still do a lot of business with government agencies, still with higher education. And then one aspect of the market that continues to grow is the healthcare industry. So we focused a lot of efforts in that area. But as far as what we see, the effects of the economy really has to do with there's not a whole lot of people out there starting up businesses like they were 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, what about because of the implosion of the economy, you might say? So people may not have an office, but what about a home office? Can you help with things like that, home offices? Is that a little bit too little there for you?
No, absolutely. We do. We have set up a number of home offices, and many times people in their home office, they're wanting something that it doesn't look contemporary or high-tech. They want it to blend in with their home. And so we have the capability of going in, and we definitely have the product lines to make their home office look really nice. Sometimes they're in a situation where they don't have a whole room dedicated to that for that office. You know, it's also a craft room and a sewing room or the kids' playroom. And so they just need a certain small area to function well for them, for their home office, and we definitely will go in and provide that service for them.
Well, that's good to see, because as we're seeing, and even though that businesses are shutting down, they're still, you know, they may be giving up their space, their leased space,
right?
But they're still maneuvering. They're still working.
Yes.
Tim, earlier you said that you were president of
Shasta Professional Association. And it's basically a lead or referral group, and it's made up primarily of business owners, and we get together once a week. And it's, you know, groups like this that have been beneficial for our business and other businesses, especially in economic times like this. We get together with them each week, and we talk about what's happening out there, who's going in where, who's moving. We try to get that information from one another because, you know, a lot of times it's just finding out what is going on out there.
Yeah, Tim, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, and we've only got a couple of minutes, they're going to be discussing the idea of renting businesses getting a 5%, I guess, break, or a 5%
preferential treatment.
Right, thank you. Preferential treatment up to 5%, and they're going to be voting that on Tuesday, I believe. We come back, I'd like to discuss that with you.
Absolutely.
For a couple of minutes.
Sounds good.
Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
You can cozy up.
A secret, dentistry.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bot here. Free Fire Radio. Hear it? Turn it up.
Are we having a bad day today,
nope,
Bob?
That, wait, I want to hear more of that. Go.
See, the little button on the right, you turn to the right.
Hey, listen, if your feet are just hitting the ground, I always say that. It's 7:53 in the morning. It's a beautiful day out, 41 degrees. By the way, mark your calendars for February 13th. Another thing that you can do, is help out the American Red Cross. It's presenting the 6th annual All-You-Can-Eat Crab Feed. Carl and I are going to be emceeing that event, and I think you're even going to be
if you want to see something funny. If you want to have a giggle in the middle of your crab feast, watch me try to auctioneer things off.
Laugh so hard that crab.
But I promise you that it'll be something you have never seen before.
Anyway, February 13th at the Wind River Event Center, and the tickets are $45 or $400 for a table of 10.
Okay.
So our guest today, Tim Scarborough.
Scarborough Office Designs. And let me ask this question. What do you think about that, 5%? Preference that they give local businesses if you're doing business right here?
Well, personally, I'm 100% for it. And this is some of the reasons why. Number one, the 5%, as we sort of discussed in the break, not only helps to keep the money in the local economy here, which I definitely am a big cheerleader for anything that we can do to help that process, it also is beneficial for the city to do that. And this is the reason why. They make a purchase from us, and they've got some sort of issue that needs to be taken care of. They're not calling a company in Sacramento or the Bay Area. They're calling our company right across town, and many times within a half hour, we're there to resolve whatever their issue is. And so there are great benefits to the city for doing something like that, and then great benefits for the local economy. We live here. We spend our money here. We're part of this community. We give and donate to agencies here. And so it's, to me, in my opinion, it's of great benefit to the city overall.
Well, I saw one of the arguments was, well, what about the people that were live in Shasta Lake or Cottonwood or Anderson? You know, I think on something like that, then you can have like a 20-mile, you know, draw a 20-mile circle.
I think so, too.
From the city of Reading. Mm-hmm. And then that includes, because a lot of people that work in Cottonwood probably live in Reading and vice versa. I mean, so it's that kind of thing. So the idea, though, of giving preference, you know, I realize there's arguments about it. Well, what about the free market system? Well, you know what? A lot of times if somebody will come in from Sacramento or Oregon or Nevada, they come in with deep pockets.
And they can cut that.
And they can cut underneath that. And, you know, the other argument, of course, then is they've got cronyism. Oh, they'll just give it to their cronies. But, you know, I think if they go through the bid system there and people are doing the right thing, then I think they can fight that.
I have a quick question, and that's just really great. And, of course, we are highlighting local businesses, putting a face on local businesses. What is Scarborough Office Design? So thank you for being our guest. I have a question for you, because a lot of people will go to the big box stores if they're trying to put together and buy a desk in a box.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody does your business offer to give us a price and we'll see if we can beat it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, bottom line, if somebody wants to find a better price, typically they're going to find a better price. And if we're all about price, I don't think we'll be in business very much longer. What we're really about is what do we offer along with our product, and that is our service. You actually see a person that's going to be there for you. You actually get to know the people that are working with you on your projects. Now, I'm not anti-big box as much as I'm very much pro-small business. And that's where we have to excel, is that personal service and what we can provide for our customers that we feel that the big boxes aren't going to be able to do.
Wonderful. Well, it's kind of like having your own doctor, your own mechanic.
Well, the thing is, a local business, they know you. You know, they walk in, you see Tim, you see the people at R&R Meats. You know, I mean, just these are just things, people you see, and they know you. And if there is a problem,
Biggin's Lighting.
Yeah, if there is a problem, you say something to them, and they take care of it. It's not somebody that's there being paid by a faceless entity. And I'm really opposed to that. From thousands of miles away, even though there are neighbors working in these stores, they don't have the same buy-in as a local store.
Well, and a local owner, believe me, if a customer of ours has an issue, they not only talk to the employee of the company, they can easily talk to the owner. And you're not going to be able to do that with some of these larger companies.
That's what we say. Wonderful. You know, something about the program and you don't like on KCNR, you just stop by and say hello. You're not going to be able to do that in New York and the rest of the stations around here. Unless, of course, it's KLXR, and then you can come in and stand on Mike's desk and scream at him. Hey, we really appreciate you being by. And, again, we do this every Monday, and we may even expand this out a little bit. And every time we have an opening, try and bring in a local business that we can, you know, that we can have people hear who the owner is. And we've got to support our neighbors and support our local businesses here in Reading.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on today. And I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing. And thank you for championing the cause of small business.
Well, I think a lot of people do. We just have to kind of like push it. a little bit now and then.
Thank you so much. Okay. We have a really special guest as well coming that's in waiting to come up at the 8 o'clock hour.
Mr. Gary Lewis, who is the president of the Shasta Tehama and everything else around here, community colleges. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here. It's Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460. Phone lines here are 605-45670. Hey, look, this is for the men. Men, getting your hair cut. Then go head down to the Cypress Square Barbershop. That's where I go. DC Tim and the Mysterious Haircutter. Look, if you're looking for styling gel, forget it. You're looking for that blow dryer, forget it. You're looking for somebody in a frilly dress wanting to give you a pedicure, forget it. These guys cut hair. They shave around your ears. They shave the back of your neck. They cut hair. Mom, drop your son off there. There's plenty of great magazines on hunting and shooting and cars and National Geographic and, you know, all of those. But you want to get a haircut, man. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold.
Good morning, and again, welcome. It's 8:06. This is Carla Linda Bott, 605-45-67. We know you're going to want to make some calls here in the next hour. Our special guest is Dr. Gary Lewis, who is the superintendent president, Shasta Tehama Trinity Joint Community College District. Good morning, Dr. Lewis.
Well, let me set the record straight here. I do not have a PhD, and I don't have a educational doctorate. My academic background is in business. I have a master's degree in business administration, and I've been at Shasta College for 35 years.
Well, that was my fault because I had written down doctor on this thing had not gone back and redone it on our notes here.
It's a common situation because most of the educational leaders at our level do have either PhDs or educational doctorates.
Well, I tell you what, in today's environment, probably an MBA can help you out just as much, if not more.
Well, that's the way I feel. I think that I'm well qualified to deal with the financial crisis that our institution's facing. We have a total $99 million budget, and I think we have to exercise supreme fiscal care and responsibility.
So how should we address you, Mr. Lewis or Gary?
Gary.
You seem like a Gary type of guy.
Gary type of guy. Yeah.
Born and raised here?
Born and raised in Reading. Been here all my life with the exception of leaving for 6 years when I received my bachelor's and master's degree.
When we wanted to have you on the show here, and you, of course, readily accepted our invitation here. You know, we try to have people on our show that have an impact on the North State, you know, Reading, you know, Shasta County, and even further. And you, Gary, are one of those people with one of, you know, with this Shasta College. This is really, except for Simpson University, this is the place that a lot of our students come to. And later on this week, we're going to be talking to Tom Armelino from the superintendent of the Shasta County School. So I guess you could almost say this is kind of like a, you know, a school week, an education week, but It's so important that people realize where we've been here in the last couple of years and where we're going in the next couple of years with you and the college so that they get an idea about the financial problems that we're going to be facing and can we continue to push forward. Plus, we've got a number of emails coming in already, so we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get to the questions. Our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we'll have you lay out what's happened, what you saw in the past, and what you're looking at right here in the future. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Now, welcome back, Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Our guest today is Gary Lewis. But you know what? Would anybody out there like a free love seat? Yes, that's true. A free, brand new free love seat, not one that Bad Bob's used here in the studio for the last 3 years. This is a free love seat, and this is a beautiful love seat down at Kubler's. Go down to 1894 Churn Creek Road, right next to Cool Hand Luke's. Go in there and enter. And this is free. The only thing you have to do is go in there, put your name in there, and we're going to have a drawing right here on the 12th of February. And then you can have that new love seat. I urge you to go down and do that. Now, if you can't do that, then you come to our website, KCNR1460.com. You go down to the picture down there. You tap on it, and you can enter that way. And I promise you, your name will never go anywhere else but here. We're just taking the names and putting it into the hat so we can draw it out. So, new love seat. It's for cuddling up next to your lover on Valentine's Day. How about that, Gary?
I'd like to have one.
Well, go down to Keebler's and just put your name in there. Okay.
Our guest is Gary Lewis, Superintendent, President of Shasta-Tehama Trinity Joint Community College District.
Okay, Gary.
Once again, good morning.
Good morning to you folks and all your listeners.
As we were talking about the last couple of years, what was it like? Could you see the wreck coming down the road? Or?
Well, you know, having been at Shasta College for 35 years, the community college system statewide sees a cyclical fluctuation in funding. The worst I ever saw was in 1982-83 after Prop 13 passed, and the community colleges were going through a completely different structure of financing, and we had severe layoffs and cuts at that particular time. We've had other fluctuations over the years, and we've been able to manage them. Now, in regards to this last couple of years, yes, we did see it coming, and we have been very careful in terms of our hiring practices. We have probably 20 full-time faculty that we haven't replaced. We have a number of classified employees and managers that through natural attrition have left the college, and we have tried not to replace all those folks and at the same time keep the quality of service to our students as high as we possibly can. It's kind of interesting what happened this in the last year and a half, 2 years. We were in what you call restoration funding. We were below our cap and we were trying to restore to full funding. 2 years ago we had a big campus-wide event in order to try to encourage increased enrollment. We were at about 7,600 full-time equivalent students, and our cap was 7,900. About the same time we went on this promotional thing, the economy was going bad. You know, obviously the state funding was not there as we thought it would be. The local job market went to heck. And when the job market's down, community college enrollments go up. The other factor that we were dealing with is the CSUs and UCs blocking enrollment and increasing their tuition, which was forcing more and more students to come to the community college to take those first 2 years of their education, their general ed requirements.
When you say blocking enrollment, it was just slowing it down because they were getting hit the same way.
Same way. They limited their enrollment. I know firsthand, I have a son that's at UC Davis right now, and another son that's in the MBA program at Chico, and this last year their tuition went up 30%.
Wow.
And 30%?
30%.
A piece?
A piece, yeah. 30%. And
sounds like REU is in charge of it.
Well, what's the, you know, unfortunately, you've got parents that may be one or both folks out of work. They want to send their children to CSU or UC, and the combination of their income being lower and the cost being raised is causing more and more families to reconsider the community college, which I'm a big advocate of because...
I think that's a great idea, personally.
Well, my philosophy, all four of my boys, I have four boys, they all went to Shasta College. My oldest son went to Shasta for a year. Because of AP classes and summer school, he was able to transfer to UC Berkeley after 1 year, graduated after three years at Berkeley. My number two son went to Shasta College for 2.5 years because he broke his nose playing soccer and wanted to play soccer one more year, went to UC Santa Barbara for 1.5 years. Now, 2.5 years at Shasta College, 1.5 years at Santa Barbara, and he's in his last semester of dental school at USC right now. So Some folks feel that community college is a step backwards. I've always believed that it creates greater opportunities. None of my boys probably would have got into a UC right out of high school.
Well, you know, that's you must be a little bit down about the lack of drive in your sons there, it sounds like. You know, they're not really they're not really making things of themselves, Gary, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Obviously I'm very proud of my sons, but I'm also very proud of the thousands of students that we have at Shasta College that can replicate those same success stories. Unfortunately, we don't always hear about all the successes. We hear about some of the negative things that are occurring in our society these days.
Well, one of the things that I've always thought and was that a start at a community college a lot of times people just aren't quite ready to take that step. And when they get away from home for the first time, there's some horrendous things that happen, at least they were to me. I'm sure I went to school my first semester when I was away from home, even though that there was classes and there was grades after that. But it's, you know, the fact is it's a way to start, and it's a good way to get a good start in school, and you can transfer these to someplace else.
It allows you to build confidence. The teacher-student ratio is much smaller, especially in the first 2 years at a university where you have 200, 300, 400 students in a class. The only contact you have, and it may be with a teaching assistant, a graduate assistant. So one of the things that our students really enjoy is the relationship building that they can have with their faculty at Shasta College. And for that matter, all community colleges. That's what it's all about.
At the break, we were talking about for people who have lost their jobs. Let's say they're in our age bracket, and they're wanting to learn a new trade. They need to get back into the market and reskill, learn new skills. Are you still offering programs for that?
You know, the average age of our student body is around 31 years old.
Really?
A lot of students that come to Shasta College do so because they need retraining. Growing up here in Redding, what do we see happen to the timber and lumber industry? Those folks, they had to be retrained in other skills, technology, et cetera. So we have not, we're going gung-ho in terms of our career technical programs right now. And we have a lot of students coming to Shasta College, as I said earlier, to get the retraining. They may be out of work right now, or the prospects for their job may be slim. So we're really, that's one of the major roles of the college. And it's kind of changed. The community college system over the years has had four prongs to their mission: transfer education, basic skills education, career technical education, and lifelong learning. You know, lifelong learning being recreation type classes, yoga, etc.
Got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about those four lifelong prongs, you called them?
The mission.
The
four
mission.
Prongs to the community college mission.
Got it. Okay, we're going to come back. We're talking with Gary Lewis. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. The Anselmo. Good morning. It's 8:24. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on the Clearly News Talk Radio, KCNR 1460. Today, chance of showers, high of 52. Tonight is going to be also chance of showers, low of 41. The clouds, there is cloudy out right now with a chance of precipitation. That's about 60%. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
Okay, Bad Bob, we're streaming right now. How do people get to it?
Livestream.com/freefireradio. Once again, that's Livestream, LiveStream.com, then /freefireradio. And later on this week, we're actually going to be putting the link and the player up on the Shasta Broadcaster page. So we'll make that announcement when it comes to pass.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Gary, you said there's four prongs.
Well, there used to be. The State of California Community College System, as part of their strategic plan, wants the community colleges to emphasize, again, transfer education, career technical education, and something critical to both of those prongs is basic skills education. We have a lot of students that come to Shasta College that don't have the basic skills in writing, reading, math, technology, they've got to get those things taken care of before they can go on in terms of transfer education or within our career technical programs. They really up the bar on the career technical programs nowadays. Instead of having basic algebra in order to get an AS degree, you have to have intermediate algebra. Instead of having English 190, you have to have English 1A, which is transfer English. So, and really it's legitimate because in these days you have to work smarter in addition to working harder. You have to have the basic skills down before you can go to the next level. So our emphasis right now is basic skills education, career technical programs to put people to work or back to work, and transfer education to make up the slack for students not able to transfer immediately to four-year schools. What has been left off of that by the state basically is saying, if you're gonna have to make cuts, there's no question about it. Make those cuts in lifelong learning, which is another prong of our mission. In other words, the recreation classes, the horseback riding classes, some of the art classes, unfortunately. Not that we don't think they are important, but with limited funds, we have to put our efforts into those other three prongs of our mission.
How well prepared are our high school graduates for college?
On the most part, the high school graduates are pretty well prepared. Most of our students that come in directly from the high schools do very well in our classes. One of the areas, though, that I think I mentioned to you, the average age of our student body is 31 years old. So we have students that may have been in high school a few years back, a while back.
A while ago.
Yeah, and so they have to come in and they have to refresh their skills. And that's the majority of the students that are in those kinds of programs. We also, are real concerned about adult and family literacy, making sure that the parents, for example, know how to read and write, because if they don't know how to read and write, that's going to have an impact on their kids.
What would you say the percentage is of high school graduates here in Shasta County that go on to higher education?
Right now, I believe it's about 50%. Unfortunately, and we were to blame on this, if blame's to be taken, the information that we were submitting to CPEC, California Post-Secondary Education Commission, was inaccurate. And for a while there, they were showing that Shasta County only had like 10 or 15%. And that's because our information that was being sent in was way off kilter.
Well, that was the reason I wanted to ask that question, because that one was an eye-opener to me. I talked to one of the people and one of the administrators, and this was a few weeks ago, and he said, well, we've only got like 10% of our people being going to college.
No, that's not true.
And I thought, well, that's, that was just astounding to me. And then since then, I've seen a couple of...
Adage, don't believe everything you might see, because sometimes that information, and it was very... I felt terrible about it. It was embarrassing that our school was the problem for these kinds of information, this kind of information coming out. In fact, I was working with Tom Armolino from the county schools office, and they were ready to put together this committee and look at why. Well, it ended up being the reason why was because the information we were submitting through our MIS reports was inaccurate.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No,
there, because I really didn't know it was you that was doing
no,
it.
No, hey, let me
I just,
tell you.
I just wanted to get your take on it, because that's one of the things we want to talk about with our regional occupation program that's big, of course, in the high schools, and then what you've got going there. So,
it's real important, because in addition to that, our ability to qualify for certain grant funding and things like that is dependent upon the success of our programs. And when something comes out that has a negative impact on the perception of success, then we have to take care of that.
Absolutely. Well, we've got to take a break here in a few seconds. But when we come back, we have questions concerning the workforce training, mm-hmm. Bond issues.
And then we should give a shout-out to something that we heard at the break about somebody here locally that has done something to really enhance and help out a program that is essential for the workforce.
That's absolutely true. You know, people do a lot of things that they never get the credit for. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl on the bottom, KCNR 1460 AM. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Gary Lewis, who is the president of the Shasta. Oh, I'm sorry, superintendent president of the Shasta Tehama Trinity Joint Community College District, which took up the last part of the show. So Okay, we've got a couple of emails from people here. And the first one says, Mr. Lewis, can you talk about your workforce development program in downtown Reading and what it means to the future of the economy?
You know, this is something that our institution and I think our entire community is very proud of, and that is the tremendous growth that we've seen in our Economic and Workforce Development Division the last couple of years. For a while there, we had maybe one and a half bodies involved in that part of our mission, which is part of the community college mission, that career technical education. And then when I became president, we went through some changes, and I put a young man in that role as the Dean of Economic and Workforce Development. His name is Brad Banghart. And he has been unbelievable. He and his staff, they pull in maybe $2-3 million a year in federal and state grants. This money is spent locally. It's coming into our community and spent locally in order to help with our economic workforce development issues. Give you an example, we helped to fund the Economic Development Corporation in Shasta County, the Job Training Center in Red Bluff, through the grant funding that we get. We are very active in contract education. We took over the Small Business Development Center, which is located in downtown with Kelly Anthus. And we're now one of the largest producing SBDCs in the state. What I mean by that is that we see more clients and customers through our SBDC. And this is for small business development, help in accounting and bookkeeping and marketing for free. So, I mean, it's a heck of a deal. We have a program right now where we're trying to teach folks how to, small entrepreneurs, how to bid for government jobs. So it's not just the large, big guys that have an opportunity to get some of this ARRA money that's out there.
I wonder if we could get into bidding some of those jobs like some of the other projects I saw when I was overseas. We don't have to have any expertise. We just have to have, a good write-up. Okay, maybe not. All right.
People have tried that and have failed.
Other people have tried it and succeeded.
Well, and that's one of the things about an entrepreneur. He's a risk taker, she's a risk taker, and they're willing to fail in order to ultimately hit the big pie.
Yeah.
You're looking at two.
Yeah. Gary, a lot of times we hear about people that, their name hits the news a lot, and with negative, with negative connotations or things that get people upset. And you had one person come to you when the college was having a tough time with one of their programs, with having to refurbish all of the diesel engines.
We our heavy equipment operations program, we kind of had a twofold problem there. Both the funding for the college was decreasing, but also the Air Quality Control Board slapped on us a mandate that we had to retrofit all of our heavy-duty equipment, well, and in addition, ultimately, our buses also. But for our heavy equipment operations program, that could have been a disastrous blow to that program. We needed about $750,000 to $800,000 to retrofit the equipment, and we were having a very difficult time coming up with that money. Through some of the folks at the college, we applied for and got a grant for $750,000 if we came up with $170,000 match as part of that $750,000. Again, we didn't have any money in our general fund. We weren't sure where we were going to get it. An article came out in the paper. A few days later, I get a call from Les Melberg from NMR. He says, Gary, he says, this is a really important program for the North State. I think we ought to do something to try to raise that money. I put him in contact with our foundation director, Scott Thompson. The two of them personally went out and contacted numerous contractors and building professionals here in our area, and they were able to raise $142,000 within a couple of weeks in order to match the grant that we would get in order to do this project. And so the collaboration, the community involvement, and the efforts of Les Melberg were instrumental in saving that program. And that's just one of the examples of how we've had to collaborate with other groups in order to, all of us have limited resources. Let's band together and kind of stretch those resources even further.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this thing with this refurbishing of all the diesel engines, this is going to have a huge impact on our economy with our small businesses here, with the trucking industry. And, I mean, even down to the school buses. I mean, who's paying for this?
Well, especially right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's going to $60,000. I mean, this is going to put people out of business.
I know that there is legislation being proposed to suspend this, but I haven't heard the latest.
Okay, the other another question that came in was the grant from 2007 or 2002.
This is the bond money.
This is the bond money.
General obligation bond that was passed in 2002. It was for $34 million, and they wanted an update in terms of how much of that money's left and what was it spent for. And that's a really good question because all the citizenry in Shasta, Tehama, and Trinity counties are paying for this bond through their property taxes. And so it's really, they have a vested interest in what in the world did the college do with this money. One of the things we did, we spent $1 million upgrading our science labs, physical science and natural science labs, which are critical to a lot of our programs, especially our nursing program, which supplies probably 90% of the RNs in this area. Second thing we did was we were operating in a very poor facility for our early childhood development program and our child care center. So they built the state-of-the-art child care center that is used by hundreds of small children. I mean, my kids went there when they were young. After that, we spent about $12 million up in Trinity County to build the Trinity campus, which is located in Weaverville. Small, beautiful facility. It's really state-of-the-art. We started construction after a delay. We had some issues acquiring land in Tehama County, but we finally found a great piece of land, and we're building a 25,000-square-foot facility down there. Two of the three buildings are already open. And one of the things that's interesting about the local economy, when we went out to bid with one of our other bond projects, our Health Sciences and University Center, we had to scale that project down in order to come in under bid. But I think most people in Reading realize what a marvelous facility that is. And with the Cascade Theater on one end of downtown and our Health Sciences and University Center on the other end, I think that really was a stimulus to developing some economic vibrancy in downtown Reading. Back, though, to the Tehama campus, by the time we went out to bid on that project, the there's a lot of contractors that needed work. The bids came in significantly lower than what we were expecting. We were then able to build a third building.
Hold that thought. We got to take a break, and we'll talk about the construction of Tehama. This is Carla Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Five-star bank. NR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Love it. 844. Good morning. February 1st. It's 43 degrees, a little cloudy outside. Chances of rain. This is Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, one of our places, favorite places to hang out. Go there to Espresso Joe's. It's more than just tobacco and coffee. They have wine. They have chai tea. They have every kind of coffee you could possibly want. And coffee beans. Great deal on the coffee beans there. In fact, when I know that I'm going to be going to somebody's house, that's kind of my hostess gift. I get a really nice 16-ounce bag of coffee beans and bring them. And the girls there really do a bang-up job. And Carl loves the huge walk-in humidor. So we're going to be talking soon about some cigar specials that they're going to be having monthly. They'll have where they'll be doing monthly parties and bringing out some great cigars. Although I'm not a cigar lover, I understand it is quite the fix for those who do. Right, Carl?
Let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, in first place, I could barely hear you.
Oh, okay. How's this?
Oh, that's better.
Okay. Well, yeah, what's on your mind this morning, Charles?
The parking bill.
Okay.
And when you were talking about it earlier this morning, something came to mind, and actually there was a couple things that came to mind, and one is that when people pay to park their cars someplace, there's sort of the implicit expectation that there's going to be a higher standard of care in terms of, you know, not allowing, you know, anything to happen to the vehicle or its contents, which, needless to say, would impose inflationary pressures on the liability premiums of a given business.
Oh, I don't think so. I think that any time you park someplace, it says, even valet parking says that they are not responsible for your anything inside car.
They can say any old, you know, thing they want to, but, you know, given the tort system in this state.
Well, that could be true.
And another thing and it is that I'm not aware of any big city parking lots that only charge $1.
Well, that's true. And, I mean, you go anywhere, it's going to cost you, if you go to any hotel anymore, it costs you up to $50 a night just to stay there. It's kind of a hidden cost.
And
but in some
parts of the Northeast,
yeah.
I've heard that parking spaces are actually bought and sold like, you know, houses.
Like real estate in New York.
Right.
Yeah, I think you can probably inherit them like you would a, you know, like a football
I can only imagine the disaster that would be, that would inflict upon an area such as this.
Yeah. Hey, Charles, you got a question for Gary?
No, I do not. I want to talk about the parking bill.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, though. This is absolutely ludicrous. We're going to be punished for if this thing comes to fruition, the people in the North State would get punished because people have too many cars and too few parking spots down in the L.A. and in those places. But, again, it's one of these, let's make one law fit everybody instead of looking at what reality really is. Thanks a lot for your phone call, Charles. Mm-hmm. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay. Where do you see the future is here? We've just got a few minutes left.
Well, you know, for the last 2 years, as I said earlier, we've been very careful fiscally, and we're continuing to do that. We've built up our reserves the last few years in order to meet the rainy day that we weren't sure was going to come, but it did come, and we will continue to operate in a fiscally sound manner until this thing turns around, and the economy may turn around, but there could be a lag before that increase or that improvement hits our community college.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it in the next 6 months.
No, I wouldn't count on it in the next 3 years, to tell you the truth.
Well, unfortunately, I think you're right.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we're prepared to deal with, and it's important. People ask me, how's things out at the college? And my response is that, well, it's probably no different than the other public agencies, the private sector. I have a good friend that is a cabinet maker. His business is down 70% over the last couple of years, and he said to lay people off. So, I mean, we're not going to whine about our situation because we're no worse, no better off than anybody else is right now.
We got an email that just came in. The question is, what about the big building downtown? How many students, and what are they studying?
The Health Sciences and University Center is just that. We have four health science programs in there. We have our dental hygiene program, which is kind of getting some airtime right now because of creating smiles with people. But and then we have our CNA program, Certified Nurse Assistant program, our Licensed Vocational Nursing program, and our RN program, all located in that facility. We also are offering a number of economic and workforce development programs in that facility. We're one of two community colleges in the state that is already offering wind technology and solar technology classes. And I feel that's very important to be on the cutting edge for new job opportunities that will be coming.
Yeah, we get a lot of we get emails from Susan Clark, I believe is her name. When we get back, Gary, I want to talk about veterans programs that you have out there at Shasta College. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Want to know us?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. And Gary Lewis is our guest today, who is the superintendent president of Shasta, Tehama, and Trinity Joint Community College District. Big. Okay, Gary, I know you've got a number of veterans going to school now. And is there special programs out there? Or I've seen some things that are being organized out there for the veterans.
You know, we have a pretty active veterans club on our campus now. In fact, a couple of months ago, we had the dedication of our veterans grove.
Yes.
And it was very well attended. And it emphasized the importance of our veterans to all of our student body. And not to forget the tremendous dedication to our country that the veterans have placed. In fact, I'm watching Band of Brothers right now, the series, and it just is incredible the sacrifices that some of our folks.
Are you seeing any? How are they doing? How are the veterans doing in school? Do you have any trends yet?
No, we don't. We've had a veterans counselor for years, but there wasn't a lot of activity, but boy, it's really picking up right now. The veterans have priority registration. I haven't mentioned the fact that we're funded for 7,600 full-time equivalent students from the state, and we have right now about 8,800 full-time equivalent students. So we're servicing 1,200 students more than what we're being funded for right now. And so it is difficult for students to get into classes, but we're giving priority to those veterans.
Is that by law? Is that just
I think it's a state law now. It's something passed here.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you do have a counselor available for veterans.
You bet.
Is that for mainly financial things? Or?
Well, we have our financial aid counselors. We have our academic counselors, but we also have our psychological counselor available to all students. And in these tough times, with the economy the way it is and people hurting as much as they are, she is doing a great job, and there's a lot of demand for her services.
Yeah, I imagine with everything that's going on there, with hundreds of thousands of young men and women that have been in the service and coming back out and restarting their lives. And the way to do that, and of course, to have education benefits is to go to school.
Right.
But
exactly.
A lot of times they're 22 and 23. Of course, you said your average age is 31. So
yeah.
I find that gratifying. But I also, I know how it is after talking to some of our younger veterans coming back. They're 22, 23, 24, going into school with 17 and 18 year olds that find things, their ideas of what's important is a little bit different than the veterans.
I think that the, and this is just my own opinion, but I think that the attitude on the part of all of us toward our veterans is a lot different than it was when our veterans came home from Vietnam. And that was when I first started teaching at Shasta College. And I'm proud of the fact that all of our citizenry is looking in high regard to the veterans that are coming home.
Well, I think they finally made the distinction between the warrior fighting the war that we sent them to, and I say we, it means our elected representatives, and the elected representatives who sent them.
That's exactly right.
And I don't know why it was so difficult back in during the Vietnam era, except that everybody hated the government and everybody else, and it was being led by, as far as I was concerned, the media. In that case, and who knows what else was going on right then. Gary, sure appreciate you coming in today and talking about the college and what's going on. What last thing here you want to say?
Closing thoughts.
Well, let me do another promotional. How much?
Two minutes.
Okay. Yeah, 2 minutes.
I've got some fairly serious back problems right now, and last week I got a call from a neurosurgeon at UC Davis. And I answered the phone, and his name's Dr. Dave Moeller. And he said, "Coach, before anybody operates on you, I want to take a look at those MRIs." And, you know, I coached track and cross country for 22 years, and David was one of my ex-athletes, and he's now a neurosurgeon and works at UC Davis. And that's one of those feel-good stories I thought I'd mention to you.
Well, that's good. Always to have one of your graduates come back.
He was a pretty good runner, but, I'm going to have to investigate a little more in terms of his ability as a neurosurgeon.
As a neurosurgeon, he's a great runner, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, no. But you'd rather be a mediocre runner
well,
and a great neurosurgeon.
Yeah, yeah. Best of luck with that.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, that's good. You know, and those are the ones that come back. And like I said, you know, like you said, you've been born and raised here. One of the things that I realize is the people that are born and raised here have a true feeling of the community and what the community wants in many cases.
You know, family on both sides goes back to the 1860s. My grandfather came up and worked on Shasta Dam, bought a gas station in 1943 on the corner of Yuba and California Street. I worked there when I was going through high school, saw them build the mall downtown. I finally have seen them tear down the mall downtown. So
yeah.
We have a vested interest in this community.
Great. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thank you.
You know, our guests tomorrow will be representatives from the Center for Family Justice, or the Family Justice Center. We'll have them on tomorrow. This is Carl and DeBott. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is Casey and R. Shasta Redding.